Welcome to the Prepped and Polished Podcast, the podcast that empowers you to take control of your education, featuring weekly interviews with influencers in the world of education, as well as tutoring tips, lessons, and updates. And now, here's your host, Alexis Avila.
And welcome back to the Prepped and Polished Podcast. This is episode 212. Make sure to join our community. Go to preppedandpolished.com. If you have a question or reaction during or after this podcast, you can just go to preppedandpolished.com and a chat box will appear. Put your question in the chat box. Today on episode 212, I'm bringing back to the show Brian Lomax. Brian is founder of Performance Extra, and he started it in 2009 with a mission of helping athletes and professionals achieve their goals and their top performances. And he does that through a series of mental skills and enables them to focus on what is truly important. He earned his master's in counseling psychology, and he's going for his doctorate currently. His emphasis is on positive coaching. He's a certified mental toughness trainer. And in 2010, Brian left a successful corporate career to pursue his passions. That's Performance Extra. On today's episode, Brian gives us his best tips on how to get tougher mentally. Listen to my other podcast with Brian Lomax. It was our fourth episode, Using Your Mental Game to Ace Tests and Ace Life. To work with Brian, check out www.performanceextra.com. Now let's get right to our guest, Brian Lomax. Brian, thanks for coming back on the Prepped and Polished Podcast. How's it going today?
It's going very well, Alexis, and it's a pleasure to be back here on the podcast.
Nice. Remind our audience of your background. What led you kind of to where you are today as a nationally recognized mindset expert for athletes and professionals?
Okay. So, in terms of my background, education-wise, I got my master's in sports psychology from the University of Missouri, which may actually be different than the last time we talked.
Nice.
And I'm currently pursuing my doctorate at the University of Western States.
Nice.
In terms of my work, I'm still kind of all over the place. I have a lot of private clients that I work with, the majority of whom are, high school tennis players who have aspirations of being, top level collegiate players, but still working with athletes in all different sports and working with college teams, mainly at Bryant University and in Boston College. So it's a good, variety of things that I get to do. And, I think, as we talked before, Alexis, this is my second career, doing sports psychology and helping athletes train their mental skills and just, individuals in general, like you said, mindset stuff. And it has been such a rewarding career after, working in the corporate world for 20 years. So I'm super lucky to be doing what I'm doing and helping people, achieve their own level of success.
Fantastic. So tell us about Performance Extra, your company, and how has it evolved since the last time we spoke?
So Performance Extra it recognizes that everything in life is really a performance context. And while I mostly focus on that work with athletes, it really applies to anyone, whether that's sort of a life coaching thing or being a student, being a musician or other artistic performer. And so Performance Extra is all about helping those people perform their best when they need to. But, there are a lot of different aspects of being able to perform, things like preparation. What do you do after you perform? So routines, rituals, those types of things. And so, my programs are really meant to help individuals and teams be their best when they need to be able to perform. I think since the last time we talked, probably just expanded my client base, working with more universities, more tennis academies, and so forth. But the core mission remains the same, which is to, really help people be the best that they can be, especially under pressure and when they need to perform.
Nice. And also, since we last spoke, you've been doing a lot of writing. It seems you have a fabulous blog. It's probably one of the better blogs I've read because it's just so thorough. And I remember you did a challenge. Was it a one goal resolution a month?
Yeah, I think, in 2018, I turned 50. So, thanks. Well, I don't know if that's a congrats, but it's going all right so far.
Nice.
And so I was thinking about, you know, what can I do for a blog series this year? And so I was brainstorming with someone and we came up with, well, you turn 50. How about like 50 ideas?
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Right. So I came up with the idea of 50 for 50. And so I had these 50 ideas that one could use to, you know, improve some part of your life. And the good thing about planning that out was, you know, I came up with that 50, that list of 50 ideas on January 1st of 2018. And so that just gave me a map for the rest of the year.
That's so cool.
Yeah. Wow. So it actually really worked out well in terms of, you know, being able to provide a lot of blog content.
Yeah, definitely. Let's get right into warrior mindset. So on your latest blog, you quoted Carlos Castaneda, who said, quote unquote, the basic difference between an ordinary man and a warrior is that a warrior takes everything as a challenge, while an ordinary man takes everything as a blessing or a curse. Why is interpreting everything that comes your way a blessing or a curse? Why is when you interpret something that comes your way as a blessing or a curse, more of a curse?
Yeah. And I think we could even switch out the verb interpret for judge.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, we tend to be very judgmental about things like whether they are good or they are bad. And that can be about things outside of us, or it could even be about ourselves, whether we are good or bad.
Right.
But in reality, these things are not necessarily good nor bad. They're generally just neutral. And it's our own mind that assigns some sort of value to it. But, you know, you and I, Alexis, could look at the exact same thing or the exact same event, and we could both interpret it or judge it in two different ways.
Yes.
Which tells you then that those judgments are not, you know, inherent to the event or the thing itself. So if we get to make that stuff up, why not make it up in our favor in a way that we can actually, you know, take on whatever just happened, maybe if it's, you know, a challenge, or maybe if it's something potentially difficult, and turn it into something that, you know, we can embrace and say, you know what, I can be better because of this.
Absolutely.
Letting this kind of thing, you know, drag me down. Right. And so I think that's, you know, even if we still say we were going to interpret something, let's interpret it in our favor. Let's interpret it in such a way that it helps us stay focused on what we're trying to achieve rather than making it an impediment to that.
Yeah, I love it. And you know, that kind of reminds me of like how like in society, we're always looking over our left and right to see what other people are doing. But
yeah, that's interesting.
That I don't know if that's related at all, but it's like, if you just kind of focused on your own performance, I'm sure you could achieve some good results.
Well, it's interesting that you brought that up, Alexis, because I went to my nephew's graduation, high school graduation last week. And on the stage were the top three students in his class. Mm-hmm. And they were talking about the competition and rivalry that they had amongst each other. And you could tell it wasn't completely friendly.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking back to my high school career. It's like, I don't remember there being that level of competition between students for the valedictorian spot. I think it was more maybe cooperative. And so I thought that this might be, you know, an interpretation of like what's going on, or maybe it's even promoted more as competition to get to that top spot. You'd be in a better position to answer that than I, but I felt like that's not actually a good instantiation of competition. It's actually probably more of probably the wrong sort of definition of competition. There's some research that goes into this, and there are two types of competition, like the positive aspect of competition, where it's about becoming our best, and then sort of the negative aspect of competition, which these researchers call decompetition, when it's about beating others and having rivals, etc. And that actually can get you perhaps distracted from what you're trying to achieve. And so I felt like, you know, when I listened to that talk from those high school kids, I was like, huh, that's interesting. I'm not sure that that's how we want to promote competition with students. It should be more cooperative, not rivalry based.
Yeah, that's a really good point, because like in my world, I don't think that point is touched upon a lot. I think we hear a lot about pressure, which is a tremendous amount of pressure. Parents are very overwhelmed, but you don't hear like kind of like that, like almost like a mean-spirited kind of a competition that might, you know, lead to a lot of anxiety too. So that's interesting.
Yeah, at least for those top performers.
Yeah. Is warrior mindset something you're born with, or can we all develop it?
I think we can develop it. And I think maybe this gets back to a little bit of a larger issue in what I've been trying to talk about in my blog this year, which is having people develop their own personal philosophy on life. And that sounds like boring or something, but if you think about that as perhaps your operating system or decision-making framework, I believe that you can develop new perspectives on things. It's just that most of us operate sort of on a default operating system where we're winging it when we're trying to make decisions on things. But if you can, you know, develop a more formal personal philosophy, which is things like philosophical things like the warrior mindset, or looking into things like the Stoic philosophers said, understanding what your personal core values are or your personal character strengths are. All of those things can then help you formulate how you handle adversity or how you make decisions on what is right for me or what is right or morally correct in this situation. And so when you have something like that, which I do believe you can develop, I feel like I've done that in the last maybe 10 years. I feel much more at home with making good decisions about the things that I want to do. That doesn't mean I sometimes don't avoid making decisions, but when I actually do them, I feel like I've got a good basis for why I'm doing it, where maybe earlier in my life, not so much.
Sure.
I do think that that's something you can develop, Alexis, but it takes a commitment to self-improvement and opening up your mind to maybe some of the great thinkers of the human race, and learning from others.
That's awesome. What are the first things you recommend doing to get tougher mentally? Let's just say like you're at square one, you're on the couch and you're a little down. What are some of those basic things that you can do?
I think, you know, one of the first things we recommend is learning the skill of being able to totally relax yourself. Many of us, when we get into pressure situations, we feel tension, we feel anxiety, and, you know, that can begin to change, you know, how we think. And so we want to be able to train people to understand what it feels like to be totally relaxed. So there's kind of some stages to this relaxation piece that start with breathing, exercises like progressive muscle relaxation. Yep. You know, and so once you get used to what that feeling of total relaxation is like, then it's about training people to be able to trigger that in those pressure moments. So like, let's say you're sitting down to take a test and you might be feeling some anxiety. You do a couple of diaphragmatic breaths, perhaps with a cue word running through your mind of relax, relax. And because you've been training total relaxation before that, you are able to hopefully get into a more relaxed state, which can then you can begin to focus a little bit better on what you need to do. Focus and concentration are obviously huge parts of helping people be more mentally tough. Believe it or not, one of the most effective interventions that we've seen in sports psychology over the last several years, and all the research shows this, is mindfulness meditation. I'm sure you've had other people on the podcast, Alexis, talking about that as an intervention. It's extremely helpful for athletes. I think it's just the ability to promote being non-judgmental, the ability to help people be more in the present moment, and also to choose their thoughts. You know, when their mind wanders and they come back to their breath or whatever it is that they're focusing on, that's the magic moment. You just did a rep for your brain. And so I think those are a few different things that one can do to start taking control of their thoughts and actions, which is really the foundation of mental toughness.
Couldn't agree more. In fact, I've been meditating for 2 years.
Excellent.
And I finally got around to doing it, and it has been a game changer. Like it was like the one thing that I've always put off. but it's been like the most successful results for me.
That's
just
fantastic.
Just learning how to relax. So couldn't recommend that more. Let's talk teens. So it's very high pressure today for kids. You know, how can you get mentally tougher when you approach high school and balancing everything, social, academics, anything come to your mind?
Well, I mean, I guess number one is, you know, even we as adults have to recognize that we're putting kids in difficult positions here.
Sure.
It's very difficult being a teenager today, much more difficult than say for you or I, with the variety of pressure, but also the immediate gratification of social media, and just even everything is out there, you know, sort of in the public domain.
Definitely.
I think a couple things come to mind. You know, one, preparation, being prepared for what you're going to face in high school. I'm trying to understand that as much as possible, whether that's the volume of homework or, you know, the types of courses you're going to take. The more that you are prepared, even mentally, knowing that that stuff is coming can help you.
Love
so
it.
I think preparation is a big key to that. I think the other piece would be something called energy management. So energy management is based on the philosophy of that, you know, we as human beings, we alternate between expending energy and recovering energy, mm-hmm. but we spend much more time trying to expend energy, you know, studying for hours and hours and hours, and, or, you know, people in the workplace working 10, 12 hours straight. We don't do as much on the recovery side, which is sleep, good nutrition, naps, maybe just relaxation. And I'm sure many of the people that you work with, Alexis, probably don't get as much sleep as they should. And so that's a huge part of how one can manage his or her energy. The idea is to be maximally energized for everything that we want to be during the day. And if you're not getting the proper sleep as a high school student, you're just not going to be at your best. And that's going to be your focus, your motivation, your emotional control. All of those things will be affected when you have lack of sleep or lack of energy. So it's important to manage your schedule so that you are not just expending energy by studying and playing sports and all these other activities, but you're also scheduling time to recover energy and then having good sleep habits.
Huge tip. That's, I mean, no one, it's not talked about enough.
No.
And it's like, it's such a type A environment. And everybody just feels like they have to expend energy at every waking hour. And I think that's a huge issue. So
yeah,
that's a really good point.
I think institutionally, that's probably something that needs to be dealt with in various school systems, the amount of homework and when high school starts. I know some high schools have begun to start a little bit later, which is better. But
yeah,
those are things that can be done more at an institutional level.
Any advice for kids who get bullied and how they can get a little tougher?
That's, you know, that one's a little bit tougher because it's always a little, you know, some individual aspects to that. But I think
there
is some value in learning proper ways to stand up for oneself.
Yeah.
But that has to be, you know, thought about and talked about. Hopefully those kids who are getting bullied have good relationships with other adults, whether that be their parents or someone who can guide them through that. But of course, that's not an easy thing, but I think it is a life skill to learn to stand up for oneself. But of course, there's very much individual situations to that.
And then also it just goes back to, you know, get down to the basics, like just work on those breathing activities. I mean, that could just serve you tremendously.
Absolutely.
How do we best get in touch with you and work with you?
So people can visit my website, which is performancextra.com or performanceextra.com. You know, you can send me a message there, or my email is brian@performanceextra.com. I'm also on Twitter @performanceextra. So those are some ways, you know, that people can follow me or get in touch. You know, my phone number is on the website as well. So I'm always willing to talk to people about performance in any context and helping them be as successful as they can be.
Awesome. And before we let you go, any advice, you know, for teens getting ready for the next step for college and young adulthood?
Yeah, I mean, it's a big step, and especially if it's someone who's going away, you know, and going to live on campus, is potentially the first time you've been on your own and independent. So again, being prepared for that, being prepared for managing your energy, because you're going to go to college and you're going to want to stay up late with everybody who lives in your dorm or on your floor. And next thing you know, it's 2 a.m. and you have an 8 a.m. class and so forth.
Yeah.
You know, and so I think it's a lot of preparing yourself for that so that you you can be as ready for it as possible, but also be open to the experience and have fun with it.
Love it. Brian, thanks for coming back on the Prepped and Polished podcast. Really appreciate your advice and time.
I appreciate the invitation, Alexis. Thank you very much.
And this wraps up our show today. This was episode number 212 with Brian Lomax. To connect with Brian and work with him, check out performanceextra.com. That's performance, performanceextra.com. I hope you enjoyed episode 212. Make sure to rewind the podcast button. Go back to episode 4 when I interviewed Brian. We talk about using your mental game to ace tests and ace life. Episode 213 will be our next podcast episode. It will be a tutoring tips episode. If you want to check out our podcast, you can do it two ways. Go to preppedandpolished.com/podcast or go to soundcloud.com/preppedandpolished. Thanks for joining us on the Prepped and Polished podcast. Now go out there and take control of your education.
You've been listening to the Prepped and Polished podcast. For more information, check out preppedandpolished.com. Also, you can follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Thanks for listening. Class dismissed.